There we go.
So today, this is probably the easiest message I've written in a long, long time. When I looked at the calendar and I saw that I had February 14th, I said, man, that's simple. That's simple. The title of today's message is Love of a Shepherd. And you know, I don't know, maybe some of you are ones giving me grief before for calling us sheep, and that's fine. But, you know, I've used for a long time my analogies of what I go through in my barn when I have sheep and lambs, and I compare that to what we do as Christians. And sometimes that doesn't come across very good for us, because sometimes sheep are not super animals. But God laid this on my heart a while ago, and in fact, and Julie can attest to this, I had scriptures today, I had message, and this was all by Tuesday. So now, since Tuesday, I've just been able to study and get deeper into what God wanted me to bring. And it's pretty cool, and there was no wavering. Usually with me, there's Monday, Tuesday, I have an idea. Wednesday, God gives me an idea. Thursday, I fight God's idea. Friday, I come back to God's idea. And then Saturday, Sunday morning, I finish up God's idea. Today, this week, this month, for probably 2 weeks, there's been no wavering. God said, Matt, dig into this. So that was pretty cool. I want to start with, well, first I want to go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and Lord, I just ask you to take me out of the equation. Just take my brain and shut it down, Lord. You know what you want me to say, Lord, and just let the ears hear what they need to hear. Let my mouth say what you want me to say, Lord. I give you all the praise and all the glory. In your name I pray. Amen. So since it is Valentine's Day, I do have one thing I want to... It's a little funny. Some of you may not think so, but I thought it was pretty funny. My wife probably won't. Just because it's not really that funny. So, a man walking along a California beach was deep in prayer. Suddenly the sky clouded above his head, and in a booming voice the Lord said, "Because you have tried to be faithful to me in all ways, I will grant you one wish." The man said, "Build a bridge to Hawaii so I can drive over anytime I want." The Lord said, "Your request is very materialistic. Think of the enormous challenges for that kind of undertaking. The supports required to reach the bottom of the Pacific. The concrete and steel it would take. It will nearly exhaust several natural resources. I can do it, but it is hard for me to justify your desire to do worldly things. Take a little more time and think of something that you would that would honor and glorify me." The man thought about it for a long time. Finally, he said, "Lord, I wish that I could understand my wife. I want to know how she feels inside, what she's thinking when she gives me the silent treatment, why she cries, what she means when she said nothing's wrong, and how can I make a woman truly happy?" The Lord replied, "You want two lanes or four on that bridge?" So, I make light, but, you know, that was pretty good. That's a sheep guy that shared that too, by the way. I got one more. Older gentleman and his wife, and the old fellow says, "I wrote you a little poem for Valentine's Day." And he says, "Do you want, this is Chris and I, do you want to hear it?" And the wife says, "Do I have a choice?" And he says, "No. Roses are red, I like spaghetti, especially with meatballs, when will it be ready?" But sometimes that is the men's mentality is we want to understand our wives, but man, we still want things the way we want them, right? Chris and I are watching the show, we're actually binge watching the show, and there's a gal on it that's pregnant, and the range of emotions she goes through during this pregnancy is just a pretty good show, but okay. Shepherd. Definition of shepherd. It's a noun and a verb. The noun version, the definition, is a person who tends and rears sheep. Or member of a clergy who provides a spiritual care and guidance for a congregation. The verb tense is to tend as a shepherd. One, to give guidance to someone, especially on spiritual matters. Two, guide or direct in a particular direction. So, the love of a shepherd is the title. I gave you the definition of a shepherd. Let's get into some passages. I'm going to say, Alan, are those, you have those? Okay, they're not going to be in the same order, so sorry about that. Let's go to Numbers 27:17. Front of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, 27, verse 17. Actually, let's read 16 and 17. May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in. So the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. Guys, a shepherd leading sheep or a congregation is biblical. The sheep comparison to Christians is biblical. Here's why. Sheep. I'm just going to give you a couple facts about sheep. I wish Neil was here. Neil is my new shepherd friend. But what is the significance of sheep? Do you know that sheep, back in the Bible day, were the primary source of income? Now think about that. We had carpenters. We had whatever. Sheep were the primary source of income. Now, I got to believe that was on sheer numbers. Okay? Because as Shelby is now my shepherd, Lindsay and Morgan raised sheep while they were in 4-H and FFA. Shelby did too. Shelby has come back to it and has her own flock of sheep, and she's finding out the primary source of income in sheep is zero. Zero. So why do you do it? Why do you shepherd a flock of sheep? It's because you're called to do it. Because you're called to do it. But I want to go a little further. Here's another reason they were a primary source of income. Because they were used as the chief financial sacrificial or the chief sacrificial animal in those days. So if you had a flock of sheep and you were in a community, you could sell those sheep for the sacrifices the community committed to sins so that they could get freed of their sins. Right? So, okay. So you think sheep, man, you can make some money in sheep, right? Here's the fact that the shepherd was considered the lowest occupation to have. Huh? You made no money. You know who the shepherds were back in those days? They were the youngest son of the original shepherd. Didn't even appoint their oldest, their most physically strong, whatever. It was the youngest of the shepherd's son. That's kind of strange. Let's go to Matthew 25:32. And here's where I'm going to show you how I can stand here and make the claim that we are sheep. Twenty-five, 32. Let's do 31. When the Son of Man comes in all of his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Guys, when that day comes, we are going to be sheep. I hope. Goats, that's a whole... Anybody raise goats? That's a whole other ball of wax there. I had a couple goats when I was growing up. And Grandpa bought a goat for... I don't know why he bought it. He bought a weather goat. So it's not like we're using it to help nurse baby sheep, because weather goats don't have the capability of doing that. And, This weather goat, he was possibly the dumbest sheep we had in the barn. He climbed the stair steps. In the wintertime, Grandpa would prop a metal bucket. I remember this bucket, about this tall, 2.5 gallon bucket. It was a metal bucket. And he would lay the, we had a trap door, and he would lay the bucket down so that it let air get through to the bottom, but it didn't let all the cold air get through. He had an old bank barn. And this dumb white weather, and maybe that's why Grandpa bought him. He bought him at an auction. He was perfect. He had no markings on him at all. He was pure white. He climbed 12 steps to chew that metal bucket and hung himself. So don't get me started on goats. Okay? I'm not calling y'all goats. We're sheep. Okay? We're sheep. And it tells you right there the significance of why God uses us as sheep. Because he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. John 10. You notice I chose a lot of passages here about... I didn't choose them. God chose them. About in the time frame of Jesus' life. And I think that's important because he is the shepherd. John 10, we're going to go 11 through 17. And this is a story, we've all heard the story, the good shepherd and the sheep. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to skip down to verse 11. And it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. I'm going to stop right there for a second. Being a shepherd, or I guess now I'm a former shepherd, and I can smile when I say that. Shelby is now the shepherd of our barn. So guess what? I'm the hired hand. So guess what happens when lambs start coming in the middle of the night? Dad stays snuggled up in his bed. Shelby goes to the barn at 2 o'clock and at 5 o'clock. Dad stays in bed. It's kind of cool. I say I'm the hired hand, but I'm still offering guidance. I'm still offering. I just don't get out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and all my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. this command I received from my Father. Guys, that is one cool passage. Okay? Jesus is telling us right then and there, listen, you will hear my voice. You will recognize my voice because you are my sheep. And if you don't think that's true, and I'm using just domesticated sheep as an example, but if you don't think that's true, go to a sheep farm. Because you know what will happen when the sheep don't recognize who you are? They'll go hide in a corner and try to just stay together in a pack. And that's been a frustrating thing for Shelby because she does all the chores. Guess what? When I go down there, they hear my dumb voice and they come running. Mainly because I'm carrying a feed bucket with me because I'm the hired hand as well. But what I want you to take from that is Jesus does that willingly for us. He has the power to say, no, I'm not going to do it. But he does it again. And he says, listen, you're not the only pen of sheep that I'm going to have. What's that telling us as Christians? It's telling us we better get out there and spread the word. Because God wants all the sheep. He doesn't want just Open Arms Community Church sheep. He wants all the sheep. And it's our job as shepherds, as Christians, to go out and let all the sheep know that he's coming again. I firmly believe he's coming. And it probably is not that long. I hope I live to see the day. God does that willingly. So if you take nothing else from this, take the fact that he willingly went to that cross and was beaten and had a crown of thorns and hung and suffocated for you. And he did it willingly. Because at any time he could have said, God, take me off this cross. I want to show these people how great you are. But he didn't. Why? Because it was important for him to go to the grave and rise again to show that he is coming again. And he has beaten death, and he gives us hope of eternal salvation and life with him. We'll stay in the New Testament here, Alan. Let's go to Revelations. You know, there's in the back of my Bible, there's subjects, and I just looked up shepherd to see how many times it quoted Scripture. Shepherd or shepherds, there's 38 different passages that the word shepherd or shepherds is used. I thought that was pretty cool. Because you wouldn't think about a shepherd being talked about all that much, but pretty cool. Revelation 7:17. And why am I taking you to Revelations? Because I want you to understand, even at the end of times, shepherds are part of the story. Revelation chapter 7. I don't fully understand the Revelations. In fact, I don't understand it at all. I know we spent three and a half years on the book in Sunday school. That's way too deep for me, but I'll tell you that this, that it, shepherd is used. I'm going to start in 16. Actually, I'm going to start in 14. And he said, these are they who have come out of great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Never again will they hunger, Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now that's us. That's us he's talking about. That's us he's talking about. We are going to be with the Lamb at the center of the throne. And I love it. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor will any scorching heat. He will lead them to the springs of living water. That's pretty cool. Guys, I want you to understand that even though we may be physically hungry or thirsty from time to time, even though we may have some issues in our lives from time to time, as Christians, we are never going to thirst because He gives us everlasting water and life. Hebrews 13:10. Couple books to your left. No. Show you what I know. Anyway, Adam, Alan, you got it. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. Guys, we don't have a right to this. We don't have a right to eternal life. We don't have a right to forgiveness. We're bad. What we do have is a Savior that loves us. A shepherd who loves us. A shepherd, and I'll use the parable of the lost sheep. We understand that guy had 100 sheep. He lost one. He went to look for the one. And when he found the one, what to say he was overjoyed. Guys, that's what our Savior is doing right now. He is out searching for that one sheep that's lost. And guess what? Every time we have a baptism, every time we have a decision that somebody's going to follow Christ, you know what God is? He's overjoyed because He gets that one lost sheep. And you guys may think this is a message for you. I'm telling you right now, this is a message for me. I need to hear it. Sometimes I get so focused on what I can or can't do, or what I deserve and what I don't. I'm telling you right now, I don't deserve it. I got a wife and 3 daughters I love very much. I don't deserve them. God gave them to me. That's pretty cool when you think about it. He cared enough about me to give me 4 people in my life that I don't deserve. He gave me more than that, but those 4 hit home every day. And sometimes we butt heads. Sometimes I want to lead him to the cross. Especially the middle one. She's just like her mother. Which is a good thing. We don't need everybody like me. It'd be a bad world. Matthew 18. I'm almost to the main passage. I'll get there, I promise. Still good on time. Nobody has dinner reservations, do they? Matthew 18, 10 through 14. And here's where we're going. Here, I just talked to you about this. I probably got ahead of myself. But see that no one despises one of these little ones. So this is a time when the disciples were sitting with Jesus and these little kids. And for my mentality, anybody ever seen the Santa Claus? That's what I envision when Tim Allen's at the park with, it might be Santa Claus 2 actually, with Tim Allen's at the park with Charlie and they're cleaning graffiti off walls and these couple little girls come up to him and they just tell him what they want for Christmas because they know he's Santa Claus, right? This is what I envision right here. These little children were coming to Jesus just because they knew he was Jesus. But the disciples were like, we don't have time for little children. See that you just do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angel in heaven always sees the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills to go look for the one that wandered off? If he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Guys, we instantly think of kids, right? You know, I don't watch the news because I can't stand to watch the news because all it's on is Amber Alerts and whatever. It drives me crazy, so I don't watch. But I think in this setting, I think Jesus is talking about all of us. We are the children. We are the lost sheep. It's not children per se. He used that illustration because that was the right time to do it. Ever wonder why things happened in Jesus' life? The way they did? Why did those kids come up to him at that point? I think his disciples needed to hear that. I think we need to hear that. We need to understand how much Jesus loves each and every one of us. That is love of a shepherd. He laid down his life so we could have a better one. Now, thankfully, being a shepherd in these days, I don't have to do that. All I got to do is lock the barn door and hope nobody gets in, right? These guys were out in acres and acres of pasture, man. They were fighting bears and wolves. And Jesus did all that fighting for you. He took care of all your sins. He took care of all your hatred. He took care of all your embarrassment. He took care of all your envy, all your jealousy. He did it for you. As he hung there on the cross. Now let's go to Psalm 23. We all know this one. This is the passage that originally I was just going to use it alone, and I decided we'd go a little deeper. Psalm 23. I don't know if you need to go any deeper, but I heard this preached at a actually, the first time I really listened to the words, Chris had a surgery about, 20 years ago, where she had some cancer cells in her neck, and she was going in for surgery. And you know, of course, I don't even know what you call the guy, the oncologist or the plastic surgeon. Oh, it's no big deal. You know, about two, three-inch incision. No big deal. Was Shelby born yet? Yeah, because you got pregnant from Morgan. So, you know, here I am, 27, 28, maybe 30, scared out of my mind because my wife's going in for the surgery. And pastor at the time. I think it might have been Ben. Came and prayed with us before, and he read the 23rd Psalm, and I thought, oh, thank you for that, because that hit me at the right time. But I was scared to death. So these words came at a good time, and we'll go there. 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest of valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this is David writing this. We all know David. Pretty good dude. But he made some mistakes in his life. I want to take you to a couple verses that first verse, Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Now, does that mean we have the best car, the best shoes, the best clothes, the best house? No. It means we have a roof over our head. It means we have food on the table. It may be bologna and cheese. Or ramen noodles, but he takes care of our basic needs. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. So as these shepherds are out with the sheep, if you've ever watched a sheep eat a pasture, they will tear up a pasture like no other, because they won't stop when they get to the nubs. They'll pull the roots out of the ground to the grass. Then you got no grass. So these shepherds, they have to move the sheep to different parts. And that's green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What's that say? It means Jesus moves me to where I'm going to be comfortable. He leads me beside quiet waters. Here's what I'll tell you. When it comes watering time in the barn, the sheep are nowhere around the buckets because we're not real quiet about it. And if a sheep, imagine a sheep is not going to lie down next to a roaring river. They won't do it. So that's why the quiet waters. He wants our soul and our hearts to be still and focus on him. He's the one who's worried about drowning in the river. We're not having enough green grass to eat. He wants us to focus on him, so he takes all the other junk out. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. So everybody's seen the old where we have a fork in the road and we can choose the path, right? Sheep. Well, most of the time, unless you're there guiding, and this is true, and I'll go back to the pasture reference, our sheep will go to one corner of the pasture no matter what's going on. They will eat that one part of the pasture till it's dirt. Instead of leaving it alone. I don't know. Roots must taste good. Right? But then I think, okay, as a Christian, I do the same thing. I get to where I'm comfortable, and I don't want to do anything else. I'm going to go to those dirty roots because I'm comfortable over there. God, you're asking me to get up on stage and speak? I don't know about that. God, you're asking me to get up and give a devotion? I don't know about that. You want me to pray in church? You want me to pray out loud? I don't know. You want me to witness to somebody one-on-one? Listen, for me, getting up and speaking was a big deal. But what's harder for me is going out to somebody that I know needs to hear the word, and I fail at that. Why do I tell you that? Because I guarantee there's somebody else in this congregation that's not good at one-on-one talking about Christ. I can talk about anything. That's my wife. Most of it's useless. I'm the king of useless information and facts. I need to be more about God's information and facts when I'm talking to people. And God's laid that on my heart, and I'm working at it. I'm a work in progress. Because He wants my soul to be still and refreshed. You ever wonder why Christians, when it comes time they know they're dying, even though I walk through the valley, and mine says darkest valley, but a lot of versions probably say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You ever wonder why? I've watched several people die, and I've talked to people in their last... Guys, there's a calm about people. That's where I want to be. I think if I were to be on my deathbed today, man, I think I'd be worried about what are my kids going to do? What's my wife going to do? I got to do this. Be still. Let God take care of it. I'm not afraid of dying. I know where I'm going. That's not by anything I did. It's what He did. That's what He continuously does. And that's what I want to hammer home. He is our shepherd. He will not leave us. He's not going to sell us to producers next week, because He's tired of us. You know, as a shepherd for me with sheep, now I get a sheep that's too troublesome. They're on the truck. They're down the road. Well, I say that, but Shelby just glared at me. There are exceptions to those rules. I've kept a sheep around. She was born in 2014. I've kept a sheep around because she has twins every year, and she usually has ewe lambs every year. In fact, 70% of our flock is genetically out of this ewe. But you know, when she has her lambs, the first 5 or 7 days are miserable because her udder swells so much, and her teats, the one teat gets about as big as a baseball, and the lamb can't get in his mouth. So I literally go down and milk out 48 ounces of milk out of her twice a day. That's a spaghetti sauce jar, folks. Now, a little lamb will eat about 6 ounces a day. I'm milking 48 ounces out of her twice a day just to get her. So that's why Shelby glared at me, because I do keep a few problem sheep. And we'd had to do that again this year. But God's not going to ship us down the road. God's already proved He's in for the long haul. The next time He puts us on a truck, it's going to be to heaven. And He's already paid for us. That's the beauty of it, guys. He's already paid for us. We're going to be separated with the sheep. And He's going to lead us to the green pastures and beside the still waters. And that is pretty cool. One last little thing about being a shepherd. Shepherds are the guys that do all the dirty work. They're not the owners of the sheep. They can be. Shepherds are the guys that do all the dirty work. And I'm going to relate this to a sports analogy, because that's what I like to do. We got a guy in this congregation that's like a shepherd to me, because he does a lot of dirty work. Isaac Black. This kid is relentless. go defense, play defense on the other team's best player. He rebounds the ball. He plays point guard, and he's not a point guard. Last couple games, we're finding out he's a shooting guard. Right? As long as he's in this corner. But this kid's relentless, and it made me think, okay, Jesus is that way with me.